chapter, and if we could keep the screen down for all of the scripture this morning, Brother Savadik. Isaiah chapter 6, I know this is a very familiar scripture to most of us, and I've preached some facet of it over the years, but God showed me some things yesterday that were revelational to me, and I hope somehow it speaks to you. Verse number one, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Lord, we ask your anointing and blessing upon your word. It's the oldest thing on this earth. It's the only thing we have from heaven. And God, help us to have a greater understanding and application to our lives. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is so much to be said about this scripture in so many aspects and so many different directions you could go. Isaiah was concerned about his future because of the death of King Uzziah. What's going to happen next? It seems that when we find ourselves in a place of uncertainty or a place of doubt, whether it be the loss of job or a health situation or perhaps relationship problems, God is always there to show himself strong on our behalf. And when we are low, God is high. Paul said, When I was weak, then I was strong. And his train fills the temple, as we read. And I've mentioned this over the years, that every time that there was a battle won, the king's train or robe would extend itself. So the longer the train or the robe, the more victories. And we've got a God who has given us victory after victory after victory. The seraphims are angelic beings associated with fire. The Hebrew word fire means to burn up. And I believe their presence are associated with purification. To be in the presence of God, we must be through a purification process. And these seraphims covered their face in the presence of God, similar to the way when Moses hid his face when he came down from Mount Sinai after receiving the law in Exodus 33 and 20, because he could not see God and live. And when people saw the glow on his face from being in the presence of God, they were afraid, and he covered his face. The sheer intensity of the worship of these angelic beings caused the very foundation of the temple to move, and the house was filled with smoke. The house was filled with the Spirit of God because of the intensity of these angelic beings worshiping God. Church, intense worship will move mountains. Things that nothing else can change are changed in the presence of God because of our emotion and intense worship. Situations that we have struggled with for years can be moved only by this type of worship. And before we can be used by God, we must first understand that we are undone. In the presence of God, we recognize, I am nothing, I am nobody. God will not work with pride. Amen. God will not work with talent. Amen. But God will work with people who recognize, you know what? I'm not worthy to be here, but God, thank you. Amen. We must be touched by God to be able to be used by God. And the seraphims, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. You see, there has to be sacrifice in order for there to be worship. In Genesis 22, the first time the word worship is used is when Abraham offered his son. And Isaiah said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So let's look at the instructions given to Aaron to minister in the holies of holies. Would you turn to Leviticus, the 16th chapter? And verse number 12. So this is the instructions that God gave to the high priest. And verse number 12, it says, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. This is a description of our worship service today. We're bringing fire, if you will. We're bringing incense, and it allows us into a compartment or into the holiest of holies that you cannot have access any other way. And it'll stop us from dying. Spiritually, you see. Hallelujah. Is there fire in the house? Is there incense in the house? Hallelujah. Burning coals off the altar with incense or worship to enable you to enter into the holiest of holies and have access to the mercy seat, which has the provision, which has the rod of miracles, if you will. And the Lord touched the mouth of Jeremiah to deliver God's message. So turn to Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse number 6. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, every one of us are in the same position that Jeremiah is. And so many of us think, I'm not qualified. Now, if I had the scriptural knowledge that the pastor has or some of these Bible study teachers, but God's saying, hey, don't tell me that you're not qualified. Don't tell me you're like a child. I want you to go to those who I've sent you to. And then it goes on to say, but the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Have you ever gotten to that place where God just sets up the appointment? There's someone who says, well, what church do you go? Where were you Sunday? You know, and then all of a sudden you feel an anointing. It's the same anointing that God gave Jeremiah to open our mouth. And God, I can't believe I remember those scriptures. Why? Because God filtered it through heaven, through us, in our mouth, to those that he has sent us to. Would you turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter? And verse number 21. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, part of my testimony, and I've said this many times, I say it every time I teach a Bible study, is I think I was in the church for 6 months, and I was just standing in the pew. My pastor came up to me and said, would you open service? And I did, just like Brother Portman did this morning. But I felt so uncomfortable because I wasn't prepared. And sometimes that is exactly the best thing for us, not to be prepared. And I've done that to some of you, and I'm not sorry for it, okay? But I thought, if he ever asked me to do that again, I'm going to be prepared. And from time to time, he would do that, and I already have something in my mind and maybe a song to start out with. But I remember one day, I was in my office, and my secretary came to me and gave me this poem, Footsteps. Most of you have read it, about how God carries us when we're in trouble. And I thought, this is so neat. And I put it in my pocket. It was Wednesday, and I thought, if the pastor asked me to open, I'm going to read that, and then I'll sing this song. And, you know, I'm a kind of a controlled guy. I want to be prepared. Well, I got there, and he didn't ask me. But the guy who opened the service sang the song that I was going to open with, and out of his pocket, he pulls this poem, Footsteps, and reads it. And God was showing me, you know what? I'm in control. I'm the one who can put the words in your mouth. And so many times, like it says, we shouldn't worry about their faces. You're an ambassador. You're on my mission. You see, don't worry about your feelings getting hurt. Worry about speaking my words. Would you turn to Ezekiel, the second chapter? Starting in verse number 8, it says, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll, it's actually a scroll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was writing therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Verse number 1 of 3. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this scroll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause the belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey and sweetness. I'm afraid today we have a lot of picky eaters in Pentecost. You know, oh, I like that, but I don't particularly care for that scripture. But God wants each of us to be like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. I want to consume the Word of God. I want it to become a part of me. So when God sends me as an ambassador, I can be profitable for Him. Too many excuses, like Moses. Exodus 10, or 4 and 10, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, I am not eloquent, neither theretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." If you went to the original Hebrew, it said stupid. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." You believe that God can do that? Are you willing to step out into that place? Maybe it's uncomfortable. But if we're going to be the ambassador, if we're going to have a ministry of reconciliation, someone has got to talk to someone about the goodness of God, and then it becomes sweetness. What Moses was saying was simply, I'm not very smart. Really? Who made your mouth? Do you know what? If God can put words in your mouth, has God ever put words in your mouth that you have never learned? Has He ever given you a language that you have never learned before? Now, if God can allow you to speak in that language, why can't He allow us to speak in English for His purpose? Have you ever seen a ventriloquist? I remember when we were still in our little building, I had a guy by the name of Brown come, and he was famous. He was a ventriloquist, and he brought a puppet, you know, and the puppet would speak to people, and you couldn't see his lips moving. My brother-in-law used him for executive meetings because the executives would listen to a dummy, but not a high-priced executive, you know. You see the lips of the dummy moving, but the one who was actually speaking the words, well, he was kind of invisible, and that is us. We are on the knee of God. Our lips are moving, but it's His words, not our words, folks. Amen. I would rather be God's dummy than somebody's intellect in this world. Would you turn to Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." You know, Brother Bernard, who is our general superintendent, spoke in the mornings at camp. He is a lawyer. He has 2 PhDs. He's a very intelligent individual, and I think sometimes he has a hard time bringing it down to the level of people who can understand what he's saying. But it's not so much the information that he has or the brilliance that he has, but it's the anointing of God and hearing what God would have us to speak. "The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I did not my face from shame and spitting." And so we find that God is there for us to open our mouth. And then if you'll turn to Acts, I know there's a lot of scripture this morning, Acts the 4th chapter. I remember going to a seminar of a gathering of a lot of different denominational pastors to a place where this guy was going to help us in order to improve our ministry. And he said, if people are on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're going to reach the number 8, you have to be at least at a number 9, you know. But if you're at a 4, there's no way that you're ever going to reach the 8s or the 9s or the 10s, you know. In other words, you have to be smarter than them in order to bring them into the congregation, where God is saying it's not about your ability or your intellect. It's about my spirit. It's not by power. It's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And in Acts, the 4th chapter and verse number 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them," the unlearned and the ignorant men. Why? "That they had been with Jesus." You see, you know, 15 minutes in the presence of God will make you smarter than a whole lot of people who have been studying commentaries. When we understand that it is God that gives us the ability to speak to the lost, then there will always be an unction of the Holy Ghost on our lips. And we should be surprised when we're not feeling the unction as we stand before someone who wants truth. And then we can say, as Isaiah said, after that coal touched his lip, "Here am I, send me." Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." It is God's validation in our life. It's not just to make you feel good. It has a purpose, and our purpose is to be a witness to those in this world. Now, what I want to do is to focus on verse number 3. We've looked at all of the other verses, but verse number 3 said, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, many denominations have associated the words holy, holy, holy with what they call the Trinity. Now, if there was anyone who was a monotheist, it was Isaiah. If there was anybody who just believed in one God, he certainly would not have said, "Holy, holy, holy," to represent three aspects of God. He was inspired to record dozens of one God scriptures in Isaiah. If you ever want to know who God is in the Old Testament, you go to Isaiah. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah 44 and 6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer," the Lord, the Redeemer, "the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." So the God of the Old Testament says, "Hey, I'm the first, I am the last, there's no God before me, there's no God after me." Verse number 8 says, "I have not told thee from that time and have declared it. Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." And so we find we've got a God from the Old Testament who robed himself in flesh in the New Testament. In fact, Isaiah says that he was the one who stretched forth his hand and created all the world. And then we go to Colossians 1 at verse 14. It says Jesus created everything that's visible and invisible, principalities and powers, and by him only was the world created. No conflict in Scripture. Would you also turn to Isaiah 44? And verse 24 says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, that And he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Hallelujah. And then verse 45 and verse number 5. It says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And then if you turn to one more, Isaiah, we could be here all day reading these scriptures. Isaiah 43 and verse number 10. It says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants who I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he, and before me there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So the God of the Old Testament is the Savior of the New Testament. There was no God beside him. Folks, it is not complicated. Religion has complicated God. So holy, holy, holy is not associated with more than one God. So what was Isaiah referring to when he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord? The word holy here in the Hebrew is defined as sanctified or separated. God saying, be holy, for I am holy. I am sanctified. You need to be sanctified. I am separated, and you need to be separated. The church is sanctified or set apart from the world. We are the church, or in the Greek, ekklesia, meaning the called out ones to be separate unto God. I believe in my study yesterday that in the Old Testament, the original language and also the text that I've read from the Pentateuch, that it refers to the three dimensions of God himself and then the three dimensions of the saints of God. There are three dimensions that we can occupy in God. The three holies are the dimensions of God. God was separated from the world to be holy. We cannot be holy unless we're separated from the world. There are a whole lot of people who want to get into the presence of God, but they don't want that first holy. They don't want to be separated. They want to be a part of everyone else. And then God was separated from the world to be holy, but then separated unto the Spirit to be in us and to be able to move across the face of the world. Three, separated unto power. The greatest dimension of God is the miraculous or the power. Now we can experience God at any level of holiness we want, or not at all, you see. We know God expects us to be separated from the world or the culture of the world. We're not going to be in some kind of a monastery and separated from all people once we get saved. But we can't take on the culture of this world. And this world is becoming worse and worse. And we can allow that culture to invade us as Christians. And then we become less powerful or able to overcome the flesh and the world. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So it's conditional. You want more of God? God's saying, fine. Then come out of the world. Come out of the system. Come away from that which everybody else accepts. You know, there are lifestyles that God has rejected. The world hasn't, but God has, And if we accept those kind of lifestyles, God's saying, okay, but I won't receive you. That way it's going to be based on what I caused you to eat. So we can't experience the first holy without separating ourselves from that culture. The next dimension of holy is to walk in the Spirit. Some people are satisfied with just coming out of the world and that's it, or I'm just going to be faithful. I'm afraid for people who are saying, I'm just going to do the minimum. I'm just going to be faithful. They never get to the next dimension of God. But the second dimension is to get in the Spirit, you see. You can come to church and not get in the Spirit. You can just be there and not go to that second dimension. Galatians 5 and 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There are too many people who are struggling with the flesh and the desires of the flesh over and over. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I can't get beyond this place. I have these desires and longings to go back to Egypt. And God's saying, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So is it important to get to that second holy? Absolutely, because it's imperative that we don't have this constant pulling on us. The things that we're delivered from now are coming back to us because we never got to that second dimension of God. And as we get into that second dimension, we stop struggling with those things, and God takes more control of us, and it's not a matter of, oh, I got to go to church. And the pastor keeps saying it over and over. Come on Wednesday. Come on Sunday night. No, no. When you walk in the Spirit, you're saying, wow, we're having special speakers. So I want to get here. I want to be in the presence of God. But we have to want it. I can't force my convictions on people. I can't even force. Could have said to Ezekiel, now here's a scripture, eat it. I'm sorry. Are you kidding? I'm not. Moses, I'm telling you, you're smarter than you think. But you have to agree. The third dimension of God and man, the third holy in Isaiah, is power. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And when you walk into this place and you can hear the testimonies of a lady who was raised from the dead, and someone who has delivered from cancer, and some of those who have been delivered from habits that they could not get beyond. Well, it seems like we're in the power of God. I'm afraid that there are too many powerless Pentecostals today because they never pushed into the third dimension of God. I want to see it happen. I believe it can happen. Now, we're serving a God who makes those decisions. And we don't override God, but we can push into it like blind Bartimaeus, like the Gadarene, like so many in the Bible saying, yeah, if you're saying it, then let's see it happen. We are Pentecostals, not because of what the scriptures say, but we have experienced the same thing that they experienced on the day of Pentecost. And it shouldn't diminish because we're in 2017. In fact, it should accelerate because greater things is God going to do in these end times. Hallelujah. They can deny what we believe, but they can't deny our testimony or what God has done. Hallelujah. Having the knowledge of Scripture, but never putting on the power of God. And that's a scary thing. Every week you hear the Scriptures. Every week you have the knowledge, but you haven't had the experience. You've got to have the experience that goes with the knowledge. That knowledge has to be activated within our life. Perhaps satisfied with the gifts of the Spirit, but not entering into God's full power. Amen. Is that really necessary? Yes. Yes, it is. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Somebody agrees with me in the parking lot, finally. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Paul's saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the, what? Power of his might. Who wants to go to the third holy? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. You see, when you get to that third dimension and you take on all of the armor of God, the first thing you want to do is, God, give me the utterance. Give me the word of God. There isn't anything more exciting than waking up in the morning like we saw in Ezekiel, and God's already there. Hey, I want to tell you something. And when God tells you something, well, you're excited to tell somebody else about it. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I, therein, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And you know, until you get to that third dimension of God, it's, well, it's arbitrary. It's something that, well, maybe I will do. But when you get to that third dimension, it's something, I have to do this. I got to talk to you. When we first came into the church, I had my insurance agency, but we also had a retail store, and my wife ran that during the day, and on Saturdays I would come in and help her. And every person, I was so filled with God's Spirit, so excited about what I knew. Every person that walked into the store, I'm looking for an opportunity. Yeah, that is a nice clock, but did you ever consider? You see, you get to that place where Jeremiah says, it's shut up in my bones like a fire. He knows what it's like to be in that third dimension of holy. Hallelujah. Here am I, send me, because I entered into that third dimension of God. Have you ever wondered, why are these people so excited about talking about God all the time? Maybe you're still back in holy number one or holy number two, and you never entered into that third dimension. After Calvary, Jesus declared in Matthew 28 and 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. We are the body of Christ. I believe that God wants to give us all power in heaven and earth. I believe that we're in a position where we can dispatch angels. We have that authority. They're ministering spirits to those that are the heirs of God. Now, Jesus said that we shall do greater works than these if we enter into that dimension. The third separation onto power. Paul is the perfect example of these three dimensions. No one else teaches about the gifts of the Spirit except Paul. He's the only one. He teaches in the dimension of the gifts of the Spirit. No one else seems to exercise more miracles and signs and wonders as Paul did, because he moved into that third dimension of holy like no one else had. God saw a tenaciousness about Paul. Even though he didn't have truth, he was tenacious. He went after this way. And God said, you know what? I can use that guy. I just got to figure out how we can change his doctrine to bring him to that place where he can do good. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And verse number 1, this is Paul. He's saying, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ. He's talking about himself about 14 years ago. Now, this is before he was writing about the gifts of the Spirit, before he experienced all the miracles. 14 years ago, I knew this guy. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught or lifted up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He got to a place where no one else got to, a third heaven, if you will. 14 years ago, it said he was caught up into the third heaven. The Hebrew word for third meant a third compartment. The word heaven meant a dimension of power and experience. He got to that part of God that Isaiah was saying, holy, holy, holy. And now not only are you separated from the world, not only are you walking in the Spirit, but you have been handed the power in order to realize all of the potential God has for you. And I believe Paul entered into the third holy that Isaiah talked about, a dimension that is open to everyone in this church. Not just the ministers, not just to the music people, not just to the people who teach the Bible studies, but God is saying, come into a greater dimension. I don't want to just exist. I don't want to just hold on until Jesus comes. I want these last days. They honored my wife and I at camp this year because I turned 70 and had 30 years in the ministry. And I told them about the sign that I saw in Mexico that said, give God what's left. And I said, that's exactly what I'm doing. I want to give God what's left. I don't know how many years I have, but I'm telling you, I want to give God what's left. A dimension that is open to every person, separated from the world, separated onto the Spirit, separated onto a power of the third heaven, and then we could have the revelation that Paul had, experience the miracles, and walk in the Spirit. But you have to want to. The question is, what dimension are you? How far do you want to go with God? There's no limitations. He said, greater things than these would we do in the end times. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. Would you stand with me, please? Now, there are all kinds of messages that can be preached from this pulpit to make you feel good, but I believe every message that is preached is like this script or role that God has given the prophet Ezekiel. Will you consume it? And will you do it? And every time the message comes forth, there's going to be some conviction of, well, where am I? And what am I doing? And conviction is our friend, folks. It causes us to get deeper in God. Because if we're not getting deeper in God, we're going back from where we were. I want to be just as excited today as I was 40 years ago when I walked into a church. I want to know more of God. The revelations that God has hid in this book are so incredible. He's past finding out, but I want to get as much as I can. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you come to the altar this morning? Amen.